have. Why? Because we lust after other things. We covet after other people's things. Look at what my neighbor has. Look at what they're able to do. Look at the vacation that they took. And it drives us nuts. And we ought to be happy with what we have. And we find ourselves in sin. So now that we have covered all 10 of the 10 commandments, I want to go to this where we will read how the Lord summed this up. So again, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34 says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?'" Now again, we see the trap there. They weren't asking him. They're like, hey, let's get a question so great he won't be able to answer it. It was a matter of, let's get him to answer a question that would make him look bad so that we can make fun of him. Right? Because if I were to ask you, what is the greatest of the books of the Bible? You'd say, well, brother, I don't know if I could pick the greatest book of the Bible. The whole Bible itself is necessary. Yeah, but if you had to pick one and leave the others behind, which one would you do? Well, brother, I'd have a hard time doing that. And we are right to be stuck in that quandary. Because you would never take one over others. There's no one that has more value than any of the others because God gave them all to us. They are all equal in value. Yes, even the lists of names, they are of great value to us. They are necessary. So that was the game that they were playing. Let me get him to answer a question that would make him look bad. And as we go on in our reading, Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And as we go back through those commandments, we see that all of the others and everything else we would read in the Bible goes back to those two things. Why should I not sin? Because I love God more than anything else. Why should I not hurt my neighbor? Why should I not kill? Why should I not bear false witness? Why should I not covet his wife or whatever have you? Why? Because I love my neighbor as myself. It all comes back to those two. And we see in there the battery, the motivation, the fuel for all of those other things. That I would love God. We mix things up. We serve God sometimes out of our own flesh. We want people to see us doing things. Right? You've got some people who will be working in the church going, hey, absolutely nobody has changed out more trash cans than I have. Nobody else does it. Oh, look at me. Look at how great I do it. Oh, look, every time my pastor needs me to do something, there I am. Look at me. Look at me. And then you've got the other people who wander around and they go, you see that there? That's a little bit of a mess there. Let me fix that up. And they don't think about who's going to see them. They don't think about how they stand out. They're just glad to serve the Lord. You know what I mean? There's those who'll sit there and they'll want bigger positions in a church. Oh, and they see positions as bigger or smaller. Well, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. We've had people since I've been here come and, well, we're looking for a church and looking for one that would have a good Sunday school class for me to teach. Could you imagine being so convoluted that you're shopping churches looking to see who could give you the best position? You know, I was honest with them. I go, hey, listen, I go, we like to give those assignments from within. We like to get to know people. We don't hire them in. I heard of somebody one time, they were going around going, well, if I'm going to be a member of a church, I need this kind of a position. They need to be able to take me on full time so I can serve in that position. And it's almost always like youth leader or something like that, one of those new fancy titles they've got. I need that. I need to be paid, and I need to be paid proper in order for me to go to that church. Our band director in high school, he told me that one time. He goes, well, I'm not going to church, and I'm paid to be there. I'm the head musician of the church. And he talked about how he was being wooed by another church to come. He goes, sir, that is a job. We are not here because it is our job. Amen. And again, looking over at this, you know, what is it? It's love. Going back to what Brother Graber said during the conference, our want to needs to change. The things that we want must change. Well, how could I change the things that I want? We're not children, we know. People ask me, Pastor, you want a donut? I want 4 donuts. I need 0 donuts, so I had eggs for breakfast. You following me? Want-tos can change. I may have a desire for something, but I can teach myself to want something else. And that's what we must do. Why? Because I love the Lord first and foremost. And in that love, I will obey Him in that. Go ahead and go to Matthew 22, we're already there. Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. If you can love God with everything you've got, everything else is a piece of cake. Everything else is easy because your motivations and your priorities are where they should be. You look at an Olympic athlete of any variety and spice, they put everything into what they have. They count the calories, they count minutes and seconds at their exercises, they put everything into it. Their whole body, their whole heart, they allow no distractions, even down to the time they spend with friends is calculated so they could be the best at what they do. And then we come down to the Christian life, the most important thing that anybody could have. And we get lackadaisical about it. Well, I can have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you know what? God's just going to have to understand if I'm late. God's just going to have to understand if I don't go. God's just going to have to understand these things. Our biggest fear ought to be that God understands our motivations. Amen. You can trick your pastor. You can trick your buddy. You can trick your spouse. But you're never going to trick God. Amen. He sees what's really there. One of the pastors brought that up. God knows my heart. That's terrifying to me. I would never use that as a shield for my sin. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, He knows your heart. He sees right through the things that you're saying and right into what's really there. There's that phrase we had, only God can judge me. That's right. And that is poor comfort to the sinner. Because God will judge justly. And He will judge with perfect knowledge. In court cases, they say that when you hand over the evidence, when you share evidence, it's called discovery. God doesn't need discovery. And you don't get a lawyer. There's no twisting of the facts. God sees things for what they are. And one side, that's terrifying. On the other side, it's wonderful. Because God can help me, and He has a desire to help me. If God was just this mean force out there looking to crack whips on people, that'd be it. Scary. I'm going to get hurt. But God has a desire to help you and love you and forgive you and make you better than that, right? Not the churches we see today where it's come as you are, stay as you are, but come as you are, but you're going to leave different. That's what God wants for us. Yes, we have our sins. Yes, we have our failures. But in obedience to Him and with His strength and wisdom, we can leave those things behind and live that life more abundant. That's the love that He has for us, and we ought to reciprocate a love to Him. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Everything I have goes into it. My personality goes into my love for God. My actions go into my love for God. Everything should go. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Again, that commandment going out to them. He is our God. And we will love Him with everything. Love Him with our thoughts. Now, a lot of people think that love is just an emotion. It's that tingly feeling, right? You get that with a lot of young people. And it honestly doesn't go away for a lot of people because the tingly feeling goes away. And all of a sudden, they think they're not in love anymore. The infatuation burns off. And all of a sudden, you're not in love anymore. You know, my wife, bless her heart, we just celebrated our 15th anniversary. I can't believe I made it this long. You know? When she married me, I wasn't all that pretty. And 15 years ain't done me no favors. I had somebody come and help me at the grocery store the other day. She goes, hey, hon, on your way home, can you grab this and that from the store so I can make this? And I said, yes, ma'am. And I go off and I go get the things. And I was turned like this, and a lady came over, a young lady. And she says, sir, can I back up your groceries for you? And I thought she worked. I said, yes, ma'am, absolutely. I really appreciate that. And she puts it together. And I looked over, she wasn't wearing a uniform. She was wearing regular street clothes, just T-shirt. You know, I didn't quite get a good look at her bottoms, but I just, street clothes. And I got in my head, I go, is she helping me because she thinks I need it? And I turn and she got a look at my face. And she goes, oh, and that confirmed it. I said, do you work here? She goes, nope. And that was awkward for me. I'm sure whatever infatuation that my wife had for me, whatever handsome, if ever there was, is gone. What gets her to stay now, what gets her to love me now, what gets her to care for me now, what gets her to be my friend now, is love. It's an attitude of respect. It's a caring. It's a giving. It's that agape love. Not eros that's burned off over time, but agape love. That perfect giving love. Where your welfare and your well-being means more to me than that of my own. We came home yesterday. My mom was there. And my wife kind of looked over. She goes, all right, well, I'll get things settled if you just want to go sit down for a second. Well, I didn't sit down for a second, but she did. I looked over. Mama Bear was sleeping. We woke her up. We put her to bed. We cooked dinner. We got everything all situated. And she goes, you were supposed to lay down. I go, I know. But I wasn't gonna. And then when she got that, we took care of it. Oh, well, thank you. You don't have to thank me. It's family. It's what we do. One taking care of the other. It's reciprocal. You know, the wife needs to get up and she needs to go make the food. She needs to go do the dishes. She needs to go get the kids in order. You know what, husbands, we can take care of that stuff just fine. I'm not entirely sure I'd be comfortable calling a man if he can't cook something. I'm not entirely sure I'd be comfortable calling a man if he can't wash a dish. You know, what will you do if you're all of a sudden there's nobody there to take care of you? When there's no mommy, there's no daddy, there's no wife there to take care of you, what are you going to do? What a man you'll be then. You can't handle some house chores. But there's that love. She takes care of me, I take care of her. When we're talking about a love for God, when we talk about it being everything, it's not just a happy, glowy feeling we get at the end of a revival or conference or a good sermon if we come by one. No, it comes down to a full essenced respect, adoration, and treatment and care for the things of God and for God himself. So we see that command. Love is commanded. Love is commanded. It is a personal thing. It is a very personal love. We see all around the world people trying to develop a closeness with their version of God. There's the people who go out to Arizona and they'll lay on those red rocks. And they'll sit there for hours. Trying to get closer to their idea of God. There's the people that walk up stone steps on their knees that hope to get closer to God through the pain that they experience through bloody knees. And the more bloodier and the more pain you're in, the more closer they say you are to God. And then there's the people down in the Philippines that'll hang themselves upon a cross having nails driven through them to show how much they love God in the closest. Folks, that's not what God asks of us. He asks for us to be a living sacrifice. So when I'm making my breakfast, I honor God. Well, brother, how can you honor breakfast? How can you honor God with your breakfast? Well, he says there's certain things I need to do to take care of my body, right? We got a big old thing of Pop-Tarts. I don't eat the Pop-Tarts. That's how I honor God with my decisions there. Right? I don't. How can I honor God in the way that I drive? Well, number one, obey the speed limit. Number two, keep your middle finger down, right? Watch your road rage and drive politely. Why? Not because I'm afraid of a police officer, not because I'm afraid of getting caught, but because I love God first and foremost, and I would be devastated if he saw me doing something. And I'll tell you this, I have that kind of respect for men. I ought to have that respect for God. We like to think that we don't have that respect for other people. Like, I'm not afraid of other people seeing me make a mistake. I'd love to be just like you, but I don't believe you. I would sit there for hours folding things for my pastor and printing things off for my pastor. So when that schedule got messed up, I was embarrassed. I was. And I know we joked about it. We laughed about it. And I gave Brother Reynolds permission to make a point with it. But I was devastated. I've never met Don Titus. But I was embarrassed. You know what I mean? His name popped up. Brother Gordon, I know very well. Brother Gordon's a very loving man. He's a very caring man. He's been a very nurturing man for me. He's done a lot for me as far as educating me and encouraging me and being there for me. I was embarrassed. I couldn't even make eye contact over with my pastor who showed me how to do that stuff 100 times and I messed it up. If we can think about that on man's scale, why can't we think about that for God, who it really matters to? Any of those people would have been easily forgivable, right? Oh, it's okay, you're busy, you're doing this. It's easily mistakes, right? My sin cost my God blood and pain. If I care about what anybody thinks, I need to care about God first and only. If I'm going to do something, my motivation. So I know his love for me. I know the love that he's shared for me. I know what he's done, the distance that he has gone for me. I've received his gift. You know, the Lord saved me, which in and of itself is a wonder. You know, there's absolutely nothing I have to bring to the table as far as God goes. Anything I have, he gave me. And I'll be honest with you, it doesn't always feel like I've got very much to give him. But he still chose to love us anyway. And even more so, he created us knowing we'd mess up. And not just us plurally, but you singularly. He thought about you. He knew every failure you were going to make. He said, all right, this one right here is going to break my heart. This one right here is going to break my commandments. This one right here is going to do things. And I'm going to save them and I'm going to show them my love. And they're going to break it again. So what do? I guess we just better not make this one, right? Nope. He made you anyway. Gladly paying the cost. So I tell you what, Lord, you tell me not to lie. I hear you. You tell me not to look over at what my neighbors have. Brother Carl Lentz, he has a blue Mustang. My neighbor came home from Florida. They're snowbirds. They go down to Florida with their mom and their dad, and they bring mom and dad back up. And one of the brothers is always staying at the home to take care of mom and dad. Well, one of the sons came back with that same blue Mustang. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, I'm not a car guy. I have a hard time with this. I'm not a car guy. Somebody said, well, it'll go 0 to 60 in some odd seconds. Like, yeah, but does it have a spot for a car seat? Or, you know? What's going to happen with that upholstery if somebody spills a cup of milk on it? That's what I need to know. I'm at that stage of my life. You know, it'd be easy. You know, you see people kind of stepping out. The neighbors, we got one of those streets where the neighbors will come out and they'll just kind of talk about things. And I saw a group of the neighbors, some of the men were out there doing their lawn work. They came over to say hi like we do. And I just saw one of them pointing over at the Mustang. And I go, I know what they're talking about. That's a nice car. Or they're picking on it. I don't know. But they're talking about what he has. Listen, Lord, you tell me to be happy with my Ford Escape. I am happy with my Ford Escape. You know what that car did to me this morning? It got me here. It did. And I didn't have 60 miles to go, so I didn't have to go 0 to 60 in any manner of time. As a matter of fact, speed limits won't let me do that. Why? Because the Lord blessed me with a house close enough to the church. I don't have to. We are blessed. Right? Bearing false witness, coveting against things, murder. We don't have to handle any of these things. And we can do so with a love towards God. Lord, I'm not going to do that because I love you. But don't you think you deserve? Don't you think this? Don't you think this about yourself? Shouldn't you have that? Shouldn't you have the ability to tell a lie? Everybody else lies. Shouldn't you have the ability to, if you get angry enough, wouldn't you say that murder is okay in this particular point? What about lust? What about all these things? Don't you think you're entitled to these things? No. The greatest thing that could ever be given to me, I already have. And I couldn't buy it. And I couldn't earn it. God gave me salvation. God gave it to me. Somebody says, well, what makes you so special better than everybody else? Nothing. There's nothing special about us. Not a one of us. You know, sometimes you get people, well, I don't feel worthy. And I'm one of those people. You know why you don't feel worthy? Because you're not. But you're not supposed to be bummed about it all the time. You're supposed to be glad about that. It doesn't have anything to do with you. And he doesn't have to have anything to do with you. That's what gives me hope. That's what makes me smile. It doesn't have to be about you. This is Sunday school. I'm preaching. I got to stop. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, if you're saved today and you've got the way, the truth, and the life, you don't need much of anything else. You really don't. God's going to give you everything else. God's going to take care of those things. And if you don't have it, guess what? The Lord doesn't think you need it. I've been there. You know, just going back to Brother Charlie's devotion this morning. You know, I remember being back in college, eating one meal a day because that's all we could afford. You know, just what you did. And I look back at those times now as some of the best times of my life. I was getting to meet some new preachers. I was able to go to fellowships. I was able to sit down and learn for the first time, full time, what the ministry would be. Some of the best times in my life. And we see, well, you don't need that. You're going to have to suffer a little bit. I'm going to have to temper your steel just a little bit so you can have this. Now, look, God didn't leave me deprived, did he? You know, because the blessings came out. And we see that. Well, I don't have the health I wish I did. God's going to take care of those things. Why? Because he loves you. Now love him back. Be satisfied. Be happy. Again, we're not just talking about contentment. We're talking about obedience to God. Because that's, I think, our biggest hang-up, the biggest excuse we make. We don't say it, but we believe it, that if I obey God, there's going to be a whole bunch of really important things I'm going to miss out on. You know, that's not true at all. Well, I don't want to get to my 50s and my 60s. I don't want to be in my 30s and having missed out on these things. I'll tell you this, I've never had a wild night out drinking with my friends. I'm happy as a clam. I didn't go to some of the dances at school. I didn't dress a certain way. I didn't go to the pep rallies and things like that where I knew there'd be some mischief. Wherever I knew there was trouble, I stayed away from. And guess what? I'm okay with that now. I didn't sit at home that night going, oh no, all my friends are out having a good time, and I can't because I'm a Christian. It's so hard to be a Christian. Happy! Happy! We don't need those things. Well, these are monumental times in your life. Why? Who says that the things that God says you can't have are so important? We invent these things so we can sell tickets to things. Can I ask you this? Why is the Super Bowl much more important than any other game they'd play during the fall? Do you know why? I don't. They make a special football for it. They sell special shirts for it. They spell everything. Everything's nice and fancy for it. You got to pay more to have a commercial on there. I keep waiting for them to bring that down so we can put our church's commercial on there. That'd be nice. He gets us. And I'd like to be right after that commercial, that He Gets Us commercial. I'd like to be right after it. And you should be concerned. That would be the title of our commercial. He gets us, and you ought to be concerned about it. So here's what he says for salvation. I don't think they'd let us air it, and we couldn't afford it. Why is it so important? Because the people that sell us stuff say it's important. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Because people that sell it thinks that it's so important. What was that? What was that study? What, Tyler? You just bought a wedding ring. What's anybody tell me? This is Sunday school. You can tell me. What is the preferred amount you got to save up for a wedding ring? Does anybody know what that was? Is it like 3 paychecks or something like that? Can't remember what I don't know what the exact rule is. But you know who came up with that? Would you believe that it was a jewelry company that came up with that? You know what I mean? Well, if you don't pay this much, you don't love her. And you go ahead and you pay that much because you love her. And you go on and you're not a godly husband. Aren't you glad you at least got the ring right? Because we love God. We do everything we can in every situation. Why? Because we love God. And we need to have a priority for God in all things. Not just a flagrant love, not just a passing love, but a devoted love. There's a lot of people that I saw this weekend that I love. I love my wife. Only one of them do I get a hold of all the time. Isn't it weird that the person that you live with is the person you call the most on the phone? Maybe you're different, but that's me. Most of my text messages are to my wife. Most of my phone calls are to my wife. And she's right there. Why? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm incredibly partial to that woman. I love her. I love those kids. There's a lot of kids here. I love some of those kids. I got to hold that Hugin baby. Oh, man. Love that couple. Love that baby. But I'm going to be honest with you, I'm partial to my kids. I put my kids first. If I knew that kid needed a pair of shoes or a liver, man, I'd be right there. I don't know how much of your liver you can give away to a baby, but I'm sure I have enough to spare. But if my kids needed it, I'd be there first. 2 kids fall down, one of them's mine, I'm going for mine first, right? Absolutely. We need to have a preferential love towards God above all other things. Well, you'd undercut your family? You don't understand. Without God as the top priority, I won't be able to love my family as much as I should. And I know that sounds terrible. I know that sounds very accusatory. Well, how is that possible? People who don't love God love their family. You absolutely do. But you love them different when God's the head. You see priorities different. You see things differently. Whereas there's going to be times in my life where in the flesh I get distracted. And when I'm in the flesh, my emotions, my anger, my frustrations may tempt me to act a certain way. If I love God and everything I do belongs to God, I'm going to put those things away and my children and my wife will benefit. When I put God first, I'm going to be quicker to have family devotions, which is what? Which is time spent together. Well, you know how those pastors are. They get into the church and they completely neglect their family. The people I came from, you bring the kids in. You let them play a little bit. And then when they get about Xander and Caspian's age, you start giving them stuff to do just so they can get a taste of what it's like to serve in the church. And what is it? That's quality time together. I've got no problem tapping my son on the shoulder. I was so proud. I don't know if you guys caught that, watching those boys come up here and bring water. I asked for them to come forward on Wednesday. Are we getting the water? Yes, you are. All right. Didn't have to ask them the once. I got no problem tapping my son on the shoulder and saying, all right, go play. Because he'll work. He'll do anything. He'll help us ride around the house. And all right, go play. Go be a kid. Go. We'll help somebody move in our family. We'll be doing some work. Go. Love those kids. But if I don't love the Lord, my sin nature is going to get in the way of me taking care of them. We'll get too comfortable. We'll get too apathetic. And we'll get too tough, we'll get too mean, we'll get too stern. We'll let our flesh in. The flesh is a terrible parent. Really is. If any mistake you've ever made raising children, you made in the flesh and you know it. You know it and I felt it myself. That's why it's so important for us to give every action over to the Lord. To put that flesh in check so we can be the best husband or wife, so we can be the best parent or just in general for all of our relationships. When we put our whole heart into it, every aspect, Well, what do you mean when we say our whole heart? We've developed this trick where we'll give God a certain percentage of it. We'll be like that couple. Hey, we sold this property, but we kept a part of it back. And they got the thrill of being able to say, hey, listen, man, nice and smart. We sold everything. And here you go. It's yours. But they held part of it back. That's what a lot of people do. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give, with the exception of what I'm entertaining myself with the exception of how much time I'm going to spend in church, with the exception of what I'm going to be willing to do in my private life for you. Right? A lot of people like to keep that private door where they keep all the things God doesn't want them. And they say, Lord, you're going to have all this, but don't ask for me to give up these things. And I'm going to snarl when the preacher preaches on them, and I'm going to get upset when it's brought up again. But this is my corner. No, Lord, if you say it shouldn't be a part of my life, it's gone. How can we keep these commandments if we still have sin lying in wait? You ever find a curdled milk bottle? Man, we're getting on gross topics this morning. You ever find a curdled milk bottle or something like that in the back of your car? We used to do that back when we were bottle feeding the kids. Maybe one rolled out of the diaper bag. Maybe they were eating in the car and just, you know, drinking on it, and it fell and we forgot about it. You ever find one of those? Man, that's nasty, isn't it? I got to the point after Xander, because, you know, everything was precious, right? We got to keep the bottles. After Xander, if we found a bottle like that where things had turned solid, I didn't even open it. Just throw it away, right? And just get rid of it. Why? Because that stuff smells. And if even a little of that bacteria gets out, you're going to be smelling it for the duration of the life of that car. I don't care what you do to it. How can we serve God? How can we obey him when we still have place for the flesh to have control over things? It's very difficult. Could you imagine two song leaders up here? That'd be different, wouldn't it? Each one of our song leaders, they sing things just a little bit different. They lead things just a little bit different. If you hear them one at a time, not noticeable. But if I had all of them up here at once, it's going to be different. And then Sister Danielle over here, she'll try to play, and she won't know who to try to match tempo with. Everyone's going to be frustrated. Everyone's going to be discouraged. And when you have corners of your heart still devoted to sin, that is your life. You've got God who wants to go one way. You've got your desires that want to go another. We cannot obey him, at least not properly. We cannot follow him, at least not properly, when sin is still in our heart, when we have double priorities over things. Now, I love that I serve a God that lets me have a job. I love that I serve a God that lets me be a dad. I love a God who doesn't. I love that God doesn't mind a vacation. I love God for that. He doesn't dictate every single second of my day, but I should. Lord, in this decision that I'm making, I'm giving it to you. I'm going to go out. I'm going to buy some brand new shoes. But I'm going to use some of those shoes to go hang door knockers. You're going to find me walking around those shoes in church. Right, everything, my whole heart. Should I have this? Would God want me to have this? Well, why would you think that way? It's just, you know, it's just a small decision like this. Why would you deprive yourself of these things? If God says I don't need it, I don't need it. And I damage my life to have it. We need to put God first. And if our whole heart's not given to him, we're going to struggle with these commandments. We're going to struggle with what God tells us to do. Consider this. Anybody notice a certain lethargy that hit these children about Saturday morning? Where did that come from? Anybody want to guess? I'll tell you, I have a guess of what happened with these kids. That candy that we have? Danielle tells me she walked into the bathroom and she just saw a kid going like this with the candy. It was Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory around here. And I love that. You know, for those of us that go, and maybe you go over and you grab yourself a piece and that'll sustain you through a sermon or two, that's what it's there for. It's not there for the children to sit there and fist these things into their pockets. And just, that candy was gone almost every day, gone. And I chuckle at it, but what did it make them do? It made them lethargic. Now, are they feeling good this morning? Guaranteed they're feeling good this morning. They slept it off. They're children. They'll survive an atomic blast. You know what I mean? They're kids. But it's funny how the things that we use to make us happy or make us feel good can oftentimes do the worst damage to us. Right? If I were to do that, Tyler would have to do Sunday school class this morning. You following me? It affects us. So to say that we can obey God without putting God first is one of the biggest jokes we can tell. We need to love God and put Him as a priority over all things in order for us to obey Him well. And if we have sin in our lives, that must be where we start. I've disrespected Him. I have not loved Him nor prioritized Him in the way that I should have, and I made selfish decisions that have hurt me or others, because a lot of our sins don't just hurt us, they hurt others. And we must repent of those things and put God back where He, well, in our minds, remember where God sits and on priority. He's number one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful for this time to be together. Lord, thank You for that devotion. Lord, thank You for Your word and preserving it. Lord, help us to put You first in all things. Father, not just so we can get something out of it, but that's just the natural order of it. You are the best. You are the most awesome. You are the holiest. You are the most sanctified. You, Father, are everything. So, Lord, we must treat You as such. There's no such thing as putting You onto a priority. You're already there. Help us, Lord, not to be foolish in how we serve out those priorities. Help us, Lord, to put You first that we may honor You with our actions. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.